Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Caroline White, Deputy Editor of Boat International, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is Katia Damborski. Katia, how are you doing?
I'm really well, Caroline. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Kind of fueled by Halloween sugar.
Yes, absolutely. It's actually Halloween today on the day that we're recording this. So we've had some Halloween sweets in the office. We've had a few people dressing up.
Yeah.
Could be better on the dressing up front. But
Katia's very pro fancy dress if
I
you
am,
ever meet
I
her.
Am. But I'm actually not, you can see, I'm not on anything today.
No, so. I feel like you're kind of holding it down very
No, exactly. Flexibly. That's it, guys. I'm just keeping it professional.
Exactly.
But I have a question for you. I think I actually might know the answer to this after spending the day with you. But what's your favourite Halloween sweetie?
Oh, any sour sweet, basically. I like a sort of, yeah. An apple sour sweet, which I've nicked several of yours today.
She has, yeah. Can confirm.
Yeah.
Like apple has to be apple?
Doesn't have to be apple. I'll accept other sour sweets.
Okay.
How about you? You're not a
No, sour I'm sweet? Not. I feel like quite rogue from you. You don't give me like sour sweet energy. But
That's good.
My favourite is actually also quite rogue. It's the like, you know, the strawberry creams that you get in like a Quality Street.
Oh my God, Katia, you're the only person who eats those.
I love them.
Wow.
The more a sweet tastes like perfume, the more I'll go for it. Like also lavender, anything like floral flavoured.
It's very sort of 1950s.
Yeah, yeah. I am actually, I'm seeing Citizen at Heart and yeah. That just, my tastes kind of prove that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, on to actual boats. Sorry about that interlude. And perhaps we should kick off with the Explorer Yacht Summit, which is coming to Monaco on November 9th, which is next week. It's going to be held at the Yacht Club de Monaco. And we've got some excellent speakers coming there. Really valuable if you're planning a yacht expedition, but equally fascinating if you're just going to dream about doing one from your armchair. It's held in association with Darman and in collaboration with exploreryachts.com. Some highlights will include the explorer Mike Horn, who's going to be discussing his world roaming adventures with his sailing yacht Pangaea, the potential and benefits of a pocket explorer yacht, and a conversation with the president of the Explorers Club, Richard Weiss. We always get this wrong. It's Weiss, not Weiss.
I was saying, you know what? I was going for Weiser.
Weiser? Wow.
I don't know why. I just thought the German came up. Gosh, I studied German for a long time. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe we're all saying it wrong and it is. Advisor. We also look at how expedition yachts can support scientific research, basically how you can turn your expedition yacht into a force for good. And there's also advice on how to hire and train crew for a global voyage.
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic, actually, because crewing on a big expedition vessel in the Arctic is a million miles from cruising around in the Med. So I'm curious to find out what the considerations are when you are hiring crew for those kind of voyages. I mean, it must affect everything from the deck crew, the interior crew, everything is different on a big explorer, right?
Yeah, you can go, I mean, from what I've heard of the talks we're going to have, you can go into some pretty deep psychological waters with this one in terms of identifying the kind of people that you want on the boat.
True.
And then making sure that they're prepared and all that sort of thing. So anyway, really interesting stuff, as you say. We've got lots of other topics to cover, so there is plenty to get people in that room. That's going to be held at the Yacht Club de Monaco on November 9th.
So yeah, I went last year. It's a super nice event, kind of not too big. It's quite intimate and personal, and it's a really great environment for networking with top people from this adventurous niche of the super industry.
Absolutely. Then back in less glamorous environs in London, we're working now on the January issue of Boat International magazine, and that contains some pretty cool features, including the Global Order Book. If you're not familiar with that, it's our annual list of all yachts over 24 meters that are on order or in build around the world, and it paints a really fascinating picture of the state of the industry. Trends, which builders are building what, how many, what length, etc. If you work in super yachts, or even if you're just interested in them, you really need to read it. It's also worth saying that our dedicated research director, Raphael Montagneux, who doesn't get enough credit on this podcast because he provides a lot of our data, he spends the whole year traveling around the world to yards to verify the numbers that get used in this global order book. Last time I checked, he was stuck in a typhoon in Taiwan, so he suffers for his role here. So you can trust the statistics, basically. And thank you, Raphael.
Yes, I always get funny updates from Raphael telling me where he is in the world and taking it all in his stride. He's really very casual about the things he encounters on his shipyard visits. But I love the Global Order book. I think it's so fascinating seeing all the figures laid out next to each other. There's just no other way that you can truly compare how all the shipyards in the world are doing and how the numbers are laid out. And there's really no nonsense. This is what's truly in build kind of way. Like, you really can't mess with these numbers. This is true and accurate. So yeah
no marketing fluff there. Rather simpler to put together is our top 101 list, which also runs in the January issue of the magazine. That is the list of the biggest yachts in the world, another once a year favorite. 180.6 meter Azam is still number one, you'll be perhaps unsurprised to know, but we have some brilliant info and interviews about the new entries to the list, the biggest of which I think is 146 metre Lursen Opera, designed inside and out by Terry Disdale, and that's now number 9 on the list. Katia, what's your favourite new entry to the list?
Well, I think it has to be Leva O for me. So that is Aberking's new flagship. She's 118 metres, so coming in at 36 on the list. And she's just such a new looking design, a completely original, not a copy of anything else that I've seen really. And it's Joseph Durand who did the exterior. And the yacht has this incredibly glossy, almost liquid-like black exterior. And Durand actually described it as almost monolithic, which I think is so accurate. Beautiful. When you see the boat. Yeah. And then on board, she has this massive 12-metre pool, and then it can be completely covered with a sheet of marble. It was described as like a sheet of liquid marble.
I mean, can that be true? No.
I mean, no, but I like the vision that it gave me.
Yeah.
And then she has this underwater viewing lounge, which is like a Neptune lounge. And I think that's just such an incredible feature on a yacht. I saw one for the first time when I first entered the industry. And just when you come in and you see below that waterline, it's just phenomenal. So I'm really excited. I hope we get to see a bit of Leva O, although I have a feeling she'll be quite a private project.
Well, if you do want to read a little bit about Leva O, then do pick up a copy of the January issue of Boat International, which will be out on December 14th. Perfect Christmas gift, I'd say.
Absolutely.
So in terms of recent events, we've spoken quite a bit about the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, otherwise known as FLIBS, quite a bit on the podcast. But since this is our first pod since the show, here is the cream of the news that our team picked up on the dock while developing various degrees of sunburn. So Tim Chiasuli, a former offshore racer, has bought a Sunreef. It's quite interesting that he's moved away from speed in that way. Do you know anything about that, Katia?
Yeah, so this is the new Ultima range, which is kind of like the multi-hull meet speed offering from Sunreef. So it's not got the traditional slightly boxy Sunreef look. It's kind of a bit more streamlined. It's meant to be a bit more, I guess, sleek looking, for want of a better word.
Yeah, Sunreef does seem to be the builder of choice for sort of ecologically minded celebrities at the moment. Speaking about the sale, he said, "Who else builds a yacht that has almost 400 square meters of living area where you can cruise responsibly, economically and sustainably on solar powered electric motors and go 35 miles per hour on traditional engines when you need to? I'm thrilled to be part of this game changing, exciting project where I can have both speed and sustainability on a huge platform."
There you go. It's a good old quote for you.
Ah, so yeah, you could have done with a few more full stops in there, but it's a good quote.
Yeah. Okay. So in other Fort Lauderdale news, Wire, they had the boat which they delivered to American football star Tom Brady there on the dock. So it wasn't actually in the show. I think it was just kind of parked next to the show. But our contributor, Kevin Koenig, aka the yacht fella, he went on board. The yacht is apparently called 12 Angels and it's a Wire 77, so about 23 meters, which is worth about $7 million apparently. And I heard she might be about to come onto the market. So she's not for sale currently. She will be soon. It's kind of, or possibly will be soon. And she's kind of at the larger end of what Wire builds. And she's kind of not quite super yacht level, but still a really nice little day boat meets liveaboard type thing.
Interesting. Okay. So another piece of news that we picked up on the dock, it seems that the era of influencer yacht design has arrived. Tankoa has introduced a new concept developed with the yacht mogul, who is also a yacht broker. And with a pulse on what people want, the yacht mogul has provided pointers and then the yard put those to designers
Yeah, so they explain this during the press conference. It's a little bit, the relationship's a little bit strange. So the designer designed the boat and the yacht mogul was kind of, I guess, overseeing it slightly. But they chose Abbasali Design for the exterior and Giuseppina Arena for the interior. And the result is Project Stardust, a 63-meter yacht with 1,250 GT. Elsewhere at Tankoa, they had a yacht on display. Actually, not for sale. It is the former Solo. So serial yacht owner John Salupi bought it and had a quick refit done. So they repainted the yacht white. You may recall she had a kind of olivey green exterior before. And they also added a few lighter touches to the original interior, which was quite dark. I spent quite a lot of time on board that boat. And I wanted to see it this year, but I didn't actually manage to. But I hear in good faith from Cecile that in the owner's suite, they made an additional bathroom. So now there's his and hers. They replaced the fireplace with an electric one and removed a fish tank. So kind of modernized it slightly. If you've been on that yacht, you'll know she has an exceptional owner's deck, really nice beach club setup. And then it's Paskowski design. So, you know, it's going to be very well executed. She's not officially for sale, but plans are for the yacht to return to the Med to do a little bit of charter.
Interesting. Yeah, John Stalupi knows what he's doing with a yacht, also likes to charter his yachts out. He's a sensible businessman. So other news from Cecile. She has noted that electric seems to be picking up. She did a trial on the Navier N30 foiling boat and met with a director of ops, Sam Cedar, whose brother, Ethan, is a grinder on the America's Cup American Magic boat. They've currently got 30 boats in build in several countries. It's currently one of the largest electric boats with a range of about 75 miles at 20 knots. All carbon with a hardtop and enclosed cabin version, as well as an open version. Voltari, meanwhile, is scaling up to build 1,000 boats a year in the near future. They've opened a new sales office at Pier 66 right next to the bridge in Fort Lauderdale.
So continuing the electric theme, you never really know what you're going to find at Flibs. There was a company there, which again, Cecile met with. Cecile was all around the show. She really did meet up with everyone. And this company claims to have solved the energy crisis.
So oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think we'd be talking about nothing else. But they were there to introduce their HES inline power generator, which is capable of magnifying true electric power from any source to multiple times the power input. So there's a lot of even in our script, we've written a lot about this technology. It's very long and wordy. I don't think I quite understand it, but basically the TLDR version is you take a power source, you magnify it up, and then you can reliably pass it on to whatever you want to power up, basically. And you can use it from grid power and renewable energy sources like wind, solar and stuff like that. So it is really, really cool in practice. There was a bit of skepticism about how effective it is and how successful it is compared to its claims. However, it is obviously very intriguing nonetheless. So one final flip story for you, and this is actually something that we've published on the Boat International website. Some of the other things we just talked about were just things that we picked up. This is from Ocean Co. So they have presented a new 80-meter Simply Custom yacht design proposal. It's actually very interesting. It's kind of harder to explain it in text, but the way that they kind of presented it at the show, they had this big board with all these really different yacht designs on them, all 80 meters and all designed by 17 different designers. And the aim is that customers don't necessarily want to faff about all these really specific details. They just kind of want a platform which is proven. So this platform is done with in collaboration with Lateral, and then you can kind of choose a style and then still make significant modifications. So at the event, Paris Balumis, who is the group's marketing director, said, "We have owners who are time poor and some clients have less desire to focus on every detail in the process. They expect to entrust technical matters to experts like Ocean Co and our partners, and perhaps most importantly, they want building a yacht to be simple and fun," which I think captures that quite well. If you go onto Boat International, we've got the full list of all the project names and the designers behind them, so you can take a look at who else is collaborating on the project.
That's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what comes of it.
For sure, definitely.
In other big boat news, Lursen's 82-metre Project Cali leaves the construction shed. The yacht has been sighted emerging from the shed at Lursen's Rendsburg facility with delivery scheduled for early 2024. Designed in-house by Jim Sluch. I know Jim.
I know,
I still don't know how to pronounce his name. We need to get a lesson. Jim, I'm going to pronounce it sort of phonetically. Jim Schlutschler? No, Jim, I'm really sorry. Jim, he's brilliant. Project Cali is characterised by a reverse bow and expansive deck spaces that place a great emphasis on outdoor conviviality. Speaking to Boat International at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, Jim said the project had been designed for a family-orientated and active client. While full details are yet to be disclosed, her interiors will be RWD designed.
Yeah, I walked over to the Lurssen stand to say hi, and Jim was really like, he was there and he was very excited. And I was like, well, you know, what are you so excited about? And I said, well, my boat is launching today in Germany. So I managed to catch him there and he told me a little bit about it. But it does seem like quite a private undertaking so far. But it was nice to see him. It's nice to see a designer very, very enthusiastic and, you know, passionate about their project.
Yeah, absolutely.
So staying with Lurssen then, we've seen that the 93-metre sailing yacht EOS has just checked into their facilities in Hamburg to be overhauled and fully serviced. Her relaunch is anticipated in April 2024, so reasonably large maintenance period, and work will include an overhaul of the masts, the booms and rigging components, an upgrade to the automation system and a new coat of paint. Her halogen lighting will also be converted to LED. So some sustainability focused changes in the works. Delivered in 2006, EOS is the largest sailing yacht built by Lurssen, and at the time she was actually the largest sailing yacht in the world, and she has since done some pretty extensive travels, having sailed over 200,000 nautical miles.
Thank you, Katia. Let's move on now to our brokerage picks of the week. Katia, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah, so I typically choose quite rogue boats for my brokerage pick of the week. And this week is no different. I have stuck to my own theme and gone for the 47-metre Inartse Explorer yacht Far, Far Away. So she's just joined the market with Fraser. She's one of those, she's the Louise DeBasto design. And she's one of those ones that have got the really low amidship section. Do you know what I mean?
Is it sinking?
No, she's got that really high bow. Oh my god, Stuart, don't listen to this because it's going to prove my technical ability to describe
like
boats as poor.
The lines of the yacht, the line.
No, like she's like a trawler.
There's like a well, trawler. You mean?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
there's a well deck for kind of storing tenders,
yes,
and things.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
One of those. Thank you, Caroline. But she didn't actually always look like that. She underwent a big, extensive 2-year refit in 2019, which saw the yacht extended by 10 metres at the Lisbon Yard in Italy. So the extension included an 8-metre segment amidships, which is probably the well that I'm just describing, and a 1.5 metre extension of the bow and stern. So as a result, the main deck now offers 120 square metres of space for toys and tenders that can be launched and recovered by a 2.5 tonne crane.
Nice. Okay. Well, I've gone for a perhaps slightly more conventional choice, the 44.2 metre Heesen motor yacht Bliss, which has been listed for sale with IYC. Delivered in 2007 and refitted in 2023, her exterior design is by Amiga Architects, with interiors also by Amiga Architects and Palmer Dautier. Her distinctive black hull contrasting with a sweeping Arctic white superstructure gives her a seriously sporty look. Accommodation is for 12 to 14 guests across 7 suites, with the full beam master at main deck level and each cabin individually decorated with its own style. There are quarters for crew of 10, and Bliss is asking 14.75 million euros with VAT paid.
Okay, so nice reasonable price. I think I forgot to tell you how much Far, Far Away is asking. Her price tag is 13.5 million euros, and she is lying in Genoa.
Thank you, Katia. And because we have spoken a little about FLIBS, we thought we'd take a look at South American yachts, because that show is a major hub for owners and builders from the region. Two of the main South American builders were in attendance at the show, Inartse and MCP, both from Brazil. And over the decades, the main builder nations in South America have been Argentina and Brazil. Currently, it is Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. So the number of yachts in the global South American fleet delivered so far is 173, obviously including the boat that I just mentioned, Far, Far Away. The total LOA of those boats, bearing in mind they only really build kind of 30 to 40, 50 meter segment, is 4,991. And I wonder, Caroline, can you guess the average LOA of those yachts?
I'm really studiously not looking at the number in front of me. I'm going to guess 35 meters, because it sits roughly in the middle of the segment that you just mentioned.
Yeah, that's a solid guess, but no.
But wrong.
28.8. I wish one day someone would get one of these right. It is hard because normally we do see the script first and then we've got an idea in our heads. But
yeah, well, 157 of the yachts, of those 173 yachts are motor yachts and only 16 are sailing yachts. And the average age of the boats is 16 years, so not too young. In terms of size segments, the vast majority are in the 24 to 30 meter category, with 40 in the 30 to 40 meter category, just 7 in the 40 to 50 meter category, and 1 in the 50 meter plus category.
Yeah, so the one boat in that 50 meter plus category is the 52 meter schooner Donna Francisca, so built in Uruguay in 2014. Funnily enough, also a sailing yacht, of which we just discussed, there are only a few, so that's interesting. The fleet is relatively young, relatively small, and as Caroline just said, mainly composed of motor yachts. Only 10% are sailing yachts.
In terms of successful yards in South America, Azimut, bizarrely, is the biggest in Brazil with 29 yachts. Inarche, or Inarce, however we're saying it, in Brazil is number two with 25. Tarab in Argentina has 22, and MCP comes in fourth in Brazil with 15. So just to explain the Azimut thing, perhaps, taxes are very high in Brazil if you import a yacht. So some builders have decided to build directly in the country. So that's what Azimut are doing, which explains why such a famous Italian builder is being so successful, perhaps, in South America.
So dipping back into the global order book, South America has approximately 20 projects on their order book each year. The lead nation is Brazil with 18 projects. They're usually the 10th nation in the world when it comes to the global leaderboard. But Azimut is actually one of the leaders in this region. They normally have 11 projects under construction per year, with Inarce and MCP following up second. And the Azimut models that are built in the region are the 83-foot and the Grande 27M.
Thanks, Katia. That was really interesting. And thank you, listener, for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.